Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I've got two brother guests on, Robert Stanley and Brandon Kiocho.
Hey.
Yo, what's up?
These guys are hailing from Texas, the second best state in the union. We're going to have a list breakdown, list building discussion. But first off, just a few quick housekeeping items. First off, join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. We had an issue earlier where I had originally limited the patrons to only 30 because that was how many Hera tokens I had at the time. I've got more, so I have increased the patron count. So if you tried to support us earlier and couldn't, now we are open and welcome to any support you can give us. Brandon is new, so let's have him give a quick introduction.
Hi, so I'm Brandon, and I've been playing IA for about, let's see,
the baby,
1 year. Since like last year when Worlds and like Jabba's Palace dropped, I used to play like a lot of campaign. And then I joined some local tournaments with one of my friends. And that's where I met Robert and Mitch.
Awesome. So what is your most favorite unit?
I love playing Rebels. And I love playing the Alliance Rangers, the Elite
Ones. Yeah. Were you a fan of Rebels before the Rangers came out? Like in terms of like, what did you play before the Rangers came out?
I used to play a Banthalist. And I really liked the Banthalist. But then right before Nahada dropped, I started playing Rangers, and I just liked playing and having access to Hunter cards, and yeah, they're pretty solid.
That's awesome. So tell us, give us an underrated, overrated. Who do you think is underrated?
Underrated, that I don't see a lot of people play that much, is Dracata.
Yeah, good choice.
Very versatile unit that can put out a lot of single target damage, maybe put out some spread damage. Definitely becomes a bigger threat the longer the game goes when the opponent figures are really low.
Absolutely. And where's a figure that you think is overrated? And if you say Han,
I'm not saying Han. No.
Good.
Overrated, I don't want to say this, but honestly, Ahsoka, in my opinion.
Who plays her besides me?
I love the figure. I love the character in the show. I try to make her work, but the 12 health on the 8-cost figure rolling a white die,
yeah,
she's too squishy. I mean, I find she dies before she makes her points back.
So
maybe I need to like play her some more. Maybe there needs to be more Force user cards I can use for her. Or maybe I need to try her when I get the sweet Patreon alt card.
Right. You get that card and she will sing, I promise.
And she will roll dodges for me.
That's it. Hey, that's all I do. So, I mean, I don't know what everyone else
Kenny's strategy 101.
That's right. Roll dodges. Better be lucky than good. Hey, all right, Brandon, that's awesome. So now you are a regional champion, right?
Yes, I am. I won a regional back in December.
You want to give us a little bit of a recap on that?
That one, I was running double Elite Rangers. I happened to go 3-1 in the Swiss, and then I ended up winning all my rounds and winning the finals against one of my good friends, Joe, to win a championship.
That's awesome. What was Joe running?
Joe likes running Vader, 2 Jets, E-Jets, E-Riots, 2 Officers, Robot Fear, and Zelo. So that list, every time we practiced before that regional, it would be 50-50. I would win half the games, he would win half the games. So it's really a solid list. Vader tears everything up. So
As this episode's going, I'm going to ask you some questions specifically about Ranger strategy, because there's a list that I really want to make work that involves Ahsoka Rangers and Kotun, but I worry so much about the Vader matchup on Jabba's Palace. So we're going to be talking about that. But
okay.
Cool. Very cool. Well, this topic of the pod, what we're going to be doing is we've done some episodes like this before, but I wanted to get Robert and Brandon on because despite my protestations to the contrary, they are pretty smart guys who know what they're doing. So what we want to do is do a little bit of a list building discussion and get their ideas in terms of like the meta right now is pretty wide open. I think that's one thing we can all agree on.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
want to see what they think about what lists are they working on? Like, what are they doing? And like, what are they trying to make work? And let's just see what they have to say. So first off, Robert, let's start with you.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and start. I mean, you know what I've been working on because we played quite a bit, 3 or 4 times last few weeks, but I've been playing that ATDP list I've been messing around with. I think the gist of it is ATDP, Tarot, two E-Jets, a set of regular jets, and two officers, along with Little Bike here in Zilla. I think that rounds me out. That sound right?
Yep. Yep, sounds right.
So I've really been liking that. I used to run Terra a lot before Heart of the Empire dropped, and I was a huge fan of him. I was running him in a five activation list with some Gamorrean guards brought into Imperials along with some E-Jets, and I really liked him as a figure. The problem was sitting with E-Jets and the guards, it was obvious that Terra was the target and that he just needed to go down first. And so pairing with the ATDP a little bit, I feel like has helped make it so he doesn't get focused as hard. People are worried about the ATDP. ATDP is generally a little bit easier to shoot at, especially for things with longer range. So sometimes they'll just take that shot because they've got it. And it helps me keep Terra a little bit safe. And anyone who's played against Terra can see the damage that he can do if he's left just to do his own thing. I mean, you pull out a end of the round, run up there, flamethrower, ferocity, call the vanguard, start of the round, another flamethrower, and a shot, and you're hating your life if you're the other player.
It's brutal. It's such a brutal combo.
So I think I've specifically been trying to pair him with something that will force the opponent away from targeting him so much. And I feel like the ATDP, I mean, it seems like it does a decent job of that just because, you know, like I said, it is such a big target. It's easy to shoot at, and it's hard to ignore just like terrorists. So that's the list I've been working on the most.
Okay, so what are for the list? What are its strengths? Like, what is it? What is it good at in terms of matchups, maps? What is it like? What are you trying to do with this list? Obviously, you've talked about what Terra can do. So, what's the list going to do?
Well, I think Terra really helps against most of the Rebel matchups. White Dice figure
absolutely
the weaken. So they're going to try to focus on him pretty hard. Which is, and I mean, if he gets in there and gets off one good flamethrower and an attack, that's pretty good for his point value. That'll help me that whole round. Generally, that whole round two helps me. So that's pretty solid. I think it's decent against dealing with Rebels there, but I also think that with the ATDP, it has enough firepower and enough unmitigated damage that if I'm playing against a Vader list, I can actually take down Vader. I can actually, you know, use the, I don't know, I feel like, and with the amount of activations I'm running as well, I think I'm running 7. And so that makes it hard for most Vader lists to get more activations than me, which will mean I get the last activation. It has it really hard for Vader to want to run up into an ATDP at the very end of the round there and get shot twice. So it's a little bit of protection against him as well. I do feel like the ATDP can get picked off really, I mean, if we're going to talk about strengths, we'll talk about some weaknesses as well. It has a really rough matchup against Rangers that Brandon loves. Its innate block is destroyed by their pierce, their automatic pierce, and it really just goes down real quick. So, I mean, it can go down extremely fast. And, you know, if, I mean, you've played against the Han a bunch of times. You've seen how much focused Han shots can do against it as well. So that's another thing to worry about. Once it loses that that charge shot, it loses its reroll on the blue or yellow dice because those dice are so swingy. It really loses a lot of power.
And it loses the auto plus one damage.
Yeah, the auto one damage and the reroll. Both of those are
huge. Awesome. So so you said, obviously, Rangers that's weak against. Are there maps that you think that your list is going to do really well on? And are there maps, I guess, Nalhutta, obviously, if you're thinking of Rangers, are there lists that are maps that it's not going to do very well on?
Yeah. Running the Jets, I think on Nalhutta, it doesn't do too bad on Shielded just because, I mean, there's so many objective points on that map, and it's really a pain in the butt to shoot Jets on those Shield objectives. Or long range units. It doesn't matter what long range units you are on Shielded. You really don't like shooting into that with a negative surge. Plus, the Jets automatically, if they want to, can kill another surge. So you're looking at two surges killed if they want to do that. It's just really hard to take out units on that. So I don't feel like the Shielded matchup is that bad, but on a Rainy Freight for sure, that's a rough map. Especially because Taro as well is a large figure. So he's taking extra movement to get past any of the pools. I really try to set him up so he can get the most movement from the ATDP early round without being too exposed so he can get a couple pushes in. If you can push him past some of the difficult terrain, that helps a little bit, but that is a rough map. The other two are both fine. I don't mind the Java map or the Java's map.
I would also recommend Brett Kelly on his Twitch. He streamed one of your games in the Vassal tournament the reason why I'm highlighting it is because it's a really good example. Robert was using his officers to push up his troops with his ATDP. I don't think you had Taro in that list.
Watch up until I start going with the ATDP. It looks really great pushing them, and then I start going to ATDP and forget what I'm doing and don't know how to count, apparently. So Watch up until that point, and you'll think I'm really good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just real. I think it's really good to see in terms of players who've never seen what the ATDP can do, especially with someone like Taro. It's really good to have an understanding in terms of like how far the ATDP can push, like everybody that he's got with him. So it's just a really great resource.
And one of the nice things about Taro with the push as well is I like running the ATDP with Jets, but the Jets, even with, you know, a few pushes, it's really hard for them to do anything useful on round one. Like, they're not going to get a flat in the shot, so they can take a long-range shot. Sometimes their shots are so swingy. Sometimes they'll do zero damage, and sometimes they'll do, you know, three or four, just depending on what you're shooting at. So it's really hard. I don't really like taking non-flyby shots. I mean, if that's the only option you have, you're going to go for it. But they don't really benefit a lot from the pushes like Taro does. Taro has such a large area that he can get to with his he's got three movement at the start of this round plus his five movement plus if you've given him, you know, four or five movement with a couple pushes from the ATDP, you know, you're looking at 10 to 13 movement easy that he's going to be able to go, and then his flamethrower is another two on top of that area effect. So there's a huge area that he can target if he gets a couple pushes, which makes him really scary at the end of the round.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had never played Taro before I played Jorgen in the SoCal regional final, just because I think by the time we really got serious in our local community about IA, the Taro wave had kind of passed and we were all playing Jabbas, or they were playing Scum Hunters. So I just never really saw him. But Taro is an absolutely terrifying figure, and he can do so much damage, especially against Rebels. I think he does, I've heard, and I think this is right, he does good work against Jets because he takes away their agile.
Yep.
But man alive, he can just eat alive these rebel lists that rely on their white die and their evades in order to stay alive.
Yeah, for sure. And he's got a lot of command card synergy as well with the Jets and things like that. There's a lot of things that he can do. So he's a great figure. I think one of the reasons you see him a lot less now too is because Palpatine came out, and 7 and 8 points, they compete against each other for a slot in a lot of places. And Palp is an amazing figure. He's really good. So sometimes it's hard to choose Taro. I've just been specifically trying to fit him into this list because I do like what he brings to the table.
Absolutely. Cool. All right, well, let's turn it over to Brandon. He's going to give us his list and breakdown.
All right, so I'm thinking about bringing the same list that I ran at regionals, but I might switch some things up, like adding R2 instead of Rebel High Command and Balance of the Force. It's double Rangers, the Rebel Care Package, couple Smugglers, R2, and I think it's an 8 activation list.
And I think that was Rebel Care Package plus 2. Hera's in there as well, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So so tell us about, so that's 24 points for 2 activations. So tell us about, like, what are the strengths of the list? What is it good at? What are its good matchups? What are its weak matchups? Break it down for us.
Okay. The list is really good at doing that focused alpha strike round 2, maybe end of round 1 if I pull new orders. It's just a lot of firepower, and it's 6 Rangers rolling with plus 2 damage, auto pierce. It's a solid list. 7 health across each figure, so you get 21 health for 12 points of figures, all rolling a black die. I do not like rolling a white die. They have access to some of the best command cards, you know, Trooper Hunter, Assassinate, High Reflexes, Tools, Call of Vanguard. They're pretty solid against IG and ATDP and Taro or Drakata, especially like IG when he has like the auto block and you can just auto pierce that with
super one scary Ranger. Versus IG. I have both Rangers.
And IG, and IG doesn't have Zillow, so it's even scarier for him.
They're pretty good. Also, if you really don't have anything to shoot, nothing to shoot round one, except like support units or objective runners, because if they kill those units, they get that free hidden token, and that's a free surge for next round. So it doesn't really, like a Ranger shot's not really a waste.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so it's a good list. But
so what are, in terms of maps? Obviously, the list is going to do well on Nalhutta.
Yeah, definitely. I can, if I get top or bottom side, I can usually shoot down 3 lanes round 1 if I need to. For Jabbas, though, they have an okay time. I usually just keep them in my deployment zone and maybe take some pop shots into their deployment zone if they open the door. Or I try to get some shots down the maze if they misposition their units. But yeah, it's an alright map for Rangers.
All right, well then let me pose a hypothetical to you, and you tell me what your solution is. And I see this from having played Jorgen and when we were playing on new ownership, I think it was, or it might have been, I don't know, spoils crime. It was on Jabba's. So he's got Vader and Taro. His first activation, he's only got six activations, but his first activation is he has an officer go up and open the door. Okay. Then he rushes Vader and Taro to my door. Okay. So he's pushed Vader up a little bit. And I haven't opened my door yet. I'm just at this point. I don't think Jorgen's even passed at this point, but I am drawing cards, you know, just kind of ginning up. And I'm not prepared for how fast Taro is just going to be knocking on the door, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, in that situation, do you open your door? I mean, like, what do you do with your Rangers? Because if you open the door, it's going to be tough for them to have five spaces in which they can get their, you know, double their rerolls. Like, what's the solution at that point?
I mean, honestly, Taro's going to open the door next round, or even first round if he gets tripped up by an officer.
He can definitely open the door.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, that's a hard call. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I would probably put some units maybe to block Taro in the front. Like maybe some smugglers. You put out the door and maybe open it, just stay there.
Yeah.
Kind of force him to go into your deployment zone so he can get a tap off or a flamethrower. Because usually your Rangers are well back in your deployment zone beginning of round one anyways. It's a hard call. It also depends on the initiative. If you know you're going to get initiative next round first, then maybe just keeping your door closed and then next round just open it. I don't know. That's a tough call.
Probably depends on command cards too. If you've got the cards that you think you can take down, I mean, if you're sitting in heightened reflexes and assassinate, two sets of Rangers can do work on Vader. I know he's got that the double black die, but they can take him down. If you sit in the back of the deployment zone there and get that five range, so you can re-roll those dice, you can go down real quick.
Do you, as a strategy, let's say you've got heightened reflexes and assassinate in your hand, is the strategy to go for Vader or to go for Taro?
Probably Taro, because Taro's weakened just cribbles Rangers. They don't get that plus two from the surge. So
I think
definitely, I would definitely go for Taro. I mean, if you lose, you're going to lose people to Vader. But I mean, they have seven health, and usually his end of round attack, he doesn't one shot your Ranger. Maybe next round he force chokes and maybe kills another Ranger. But I mean, there's not much you can do, and there's so much to invest to kill Vader. It's just kind of like, I'd rather just kill Taro and then kind of deal with Vader after.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a strategy at that point. Because I guess the problem with this is at least how I perceive the problem with most Rebel units versus Vader, is that by the time you've taken down whoever his buddy is, either Palp or an ATDP or Taro, you've spent a lot of your shot, you know, and so it's going to be tough to then gin back up in order to bring Vader down. So after, like, let's say you've killed Taro, at that point, do you just start trying to pick off jets and just try to ignore Vader as much as you can?
Yeah, so, like, when I play against Joe's list with the Vader, two jets, and the riots, I usually ignore his Vader. Unless he, like, overextends with Vader round one, I take easy shots, then I'm going to put some shots into him round one. But if you pick off everything else, I mean, Vader only gets to activate once in a round. So it's best to get those people who are running objectives or those jets that are trying to get in close to do their overrun Grenader combo. So Rangers have a lot of strengths, but they also have a lot of weaknesses. I think one of the key weaknesses is positioning. It takes, you know, like a lot of mental energy to manage them. You know, you got to keep them five away to maximize rerolls. You got to keep them in Hera's range. You got to pick which Rangers go first to shoot so you don't block a spot if your other Rangers need that forward movement to get into a spot to take the same, the shot at whatever target you're trying to target. Jets also are a weakness because they have that. They can Zilo the Pierce. They can ditch a card, convert it to Agile. Every time I shoot Jets, they always have one health. And it's just really sad. Grenader overrun combo with Jets as well. They're pretty strong because you usually keep your Rangers back kind of grouped together by Hera and 3PO.
Yeah.
So that grenader comes out, and of course, every time I get grenaded, it's the 3 damage. So
of course.
I just expect that. So another big weakness is just, in general, just getting up close and personal, take away the rerolls, that really cripples them, like Vader especially. He's up in your face, you can't be 5 away, he might have parting blow if you try to move away from him, so...
Yeah,
they got some weaknesses. Just get in their face and maybe you'll do fine.
I was just gonna say, I haven't played against the list quite a few times, the Brandon Lothbrand and the Rangers. I will say one of the strengths too is you talked about that 2 activation, 24 points. The beginning of round 2, all of that firepower is coming at you in the first 2 activations. Like you may be taking,
yeah,
other lists are gonna be taking, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 activations to get most of their shots off, and Rangers just unload and are done and can take units off the board.
That's a good point. The problem, I would say, I guess the problem is that, I mean, those Rangers really need that focus. And at the start of round 2, you've only got 2 focus Rangers. Hopefully you've got some good command cards in hand so that you can start removing figures. But that's like, that's what I hear as the common retort against Rangers, is that without focus, they can't get work done. I know that's not true, but it does seem like they do require a lot of ginning up in order to maximize their value.
Yeah, I mean, you dedicate your whole command card deck to just Rangers. You know, all the 100 cards, throw in new orders, get some cards that give out focus. I mean, it's you invest a lot into them, and hopefully round 1, they can do work, get take out a lot of good units, and then kind of just coast from there, and you have a lot of units left, and it's an easy game to win.
That's awesome.
I think they do like focus too, but I mean, they've still got like a 60% chance to do 3 damage on a regular black die there. Obviously, they're less worried about, and that's before the rerolls too. I think they have a hard time against white die because they hate it when that surge gets canceled. And it sometimes makes a choice harder there. But I mean, against a black die, they still, with that auto pierce 1, they still do good damage.
And they've got Hera around who can give them the surge when they need it
for sure.
To maximize value. Good point. Cool, Brandon. Well, do you have anything, any other things, any other comments on your list?
No, I really need to play them on Mos Eisley. I haven't played enough on that map with them to know like what lanes I should take control over. So I need to play more on that.
That's a tricky map. I really like it. It's got a lot of interesting questions to answer, but cool. All right. Well, I'm going to quickly go over my list that I've been working on for the last little while. This is it's another box, but it's a great box because it's got the best figure in the game, which is Han Solo. And it also has got the most underrated figure in the game, as Brandon said, which is Drakata. So here's the short genesis of this box is, what is my biggest problem? My biggest problem has been, what do I do about troopers, Imperial troopers? I don't have the firepower with like Lando, Ahsoka, and Jyn in order to bring down the number of troopers that I need to bring down so that I'm not suffering from a serious material disadvantage at the end of round 2, right? Like those 3 figures cannot remove realistically more than 3, maybe 4 Imperial troopers by the end of round 2.
Don't get enough attacks off.
Yeah, they just don't get enough attacks off, right? So what I've done is I'm still relying on not very many awesome attacks, but they're 2 of the best attacks in the game, and that's from Han Solo and Drakata. So the list is Han Solo, obviously with the fix, Drakata, MHD, Hera, Gideon, Mach, R2, C-3PO, Trusted Ally, Heroic Effort. So the whole purpose of this list is I've got 2 high damage output, high defense figures that can do tons of damage to my opponent on pretty much any map at pretty much any range. Drakata with Hera nearby can realistically make 8-9 range. That's not very hard for him to do if he's focused.
Oh yeah, and he's for sure going to be focused round 1 because you've only got him and Han.
Exactly. I've only got 2 people to focus, right? So that's where the focus is going. Traditionally, the problem for my lists has always been new ownership. I don't want to open my door against Vader or somebody like that because they're going to get in my face. Well, now with Drakata, I will open my door, and if they open their door, Drakata's going to be able to come in and just land a massive blast shot on them, right? So Drakata just puts your opponent in such an interesting position because they know that if they're going to take one of his shots, you have the potential to either blast 2, so anyone nearby is going to take an extra 2 damage, or you can do a shrapnel, which will give everyone within 2 spaces 1 damage, right? It's just insane damage output. Last night, I was playing a game on Vassal against Matt Pinkard, who's an incredible player. He won New Orleans. He won the Mississippi Regional. and we were playing on new ownership. He was playing kind of a scum jank list. I focused Dracata. I opened my door, and I didn't think he was going to open his door, but he kind of took a gamble and did. Well, he had Greedo, who Greedo was surrounded by an elite Jawa, Gideon. Let's see, what else? I think he had four figures around him. So I took a focused Dracata up and shot him from like eight spaces away and one-shot Greedo, right? I one-shot Greedo, and then I blasted two to kill, or not to kill, but to do, I think I did 14 total damage with that shot, right?
What? Wait, is that adding the damage from Greedo?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. So 14 damage. So okay. I did 8 damage to Greedo, and then I blasted 2 on 3 other figures, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 14 damage, right? Like, that's insane. That is, like, exactly what you need to do if you're going to, like, come, or if you're going to do damage against these high health lists, right? Like, you've just got to get damage on them so you can start removing them. So, and then there's Han, right? And Han does exactly what Han does.
He rolls dodges and he plays on whole end.
That's what I do. I mean, that's my strategy. But, so the whole point of the list is I've got good damage at all ranges. If people clump up, if troopers clump up, Dracata's going to punish them. And I've got MHD with Miracle Worker, single purpose, everything he needs in order to keep my two heavy hitters alive. So, I mean, it's a really, really, really fun list.
Yeah.
And it does a lot of work against spam lists of any kind. So high, like high activation count and high figure lists, it does really good against, because it's really hard for your opponent to keep his people so spread out that Dracata can't just do tons of damage. And also you don't want to spread out, because then it's easy for Han to pick people off, right? Yeah. But it does have weaknesses. And its weaknesses, I would say, are two. I would say its biggest weaknesses are two. Rangers, because they can trade damage at range, and they've got more shots than I do, right? And like Brandon's list is a good example of, I would say, a very strong counter to my list, because he's got six figures that can hit hard from just as far away, and he's going to auto-pierce Dracata's innate one block. So that really hurts Dracata. And obviously I want to keep Dracata and Han near C-3PO, but, you know, I mean, eventually they're just going to chew through that. And the other thing is white dice. The reason why white dice are a problem, the white dice are always a problem for these rebel lists, is because I have two people who are realistically doing most of my damage. And a single dodge will just ruin my day, right? Like if Greedo would have rolled a dodge, that's 14 damage I'm not doing to my opponent's list, right? And so, I mean, if you get unlucky, it just seems to be how rebel lists are that aren't Han Rangers, is if you get unlucky, it's really tough to claw back from that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, you think about you getting, you know, 3 attacks which are cut off in the entire game, and if one of those is dodged, then you're pretty screwed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is why I love to see black dice on the other side of the line, right? Because most of Dracata's damage is going to come from his blast and his shrapnel, not necessarily from remove. I mean, he can do a ton of damage. He's got innate one damage. You've got Hera nearby. He can do a ton of damage, but I more prefer to use him in terms of just splashing damage onto everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about those surges, man. If you're using shrapnel, he's got surges just as good as Han's. One for one damage to the target, one for two damage to the target, and then the one that does one damage to the target also does one damage to everyone else with it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I've got pretty much the list is very similar to other boxes. I've got On the Land, Miracle Worker, all that. But I do have Dracata's card, Arcing Shot, because the ability to hit somebody who you would normally not be able to take a shot on is huge, especially with Dracata, because you want to be able to control his blast, right? So let's say I want to hit someone who's slightly behind a corner that I can't get to, but I want to get to him because they're adjacent to two other figures. Arcing Shot allows you to get them and maximize your blast damage, which is awesome. And the other card that I have is Collateral Damage, which I think is an auto-include if you've got Dracata.
Oh, yeah.
It allows you to... What happens is after the attack resolves, if it wasn't dodged, I believe, you can add 2 damage to any target within 2 spaces.
As long as it wasn't missed. So if they don't dodge, you don't hit range. If you don't hit range, that's a miss.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And the awesome thing about that is it's flexible damage. It's unmitigatable. All these things are huge, right? So I can blast 2 on someone who's next to C-3PO. Then I can collateral damage and kill C-3PO, right? Or kill an officer. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just start getting damage on jets that are coming up. It's just great card for being able to just get a little bit more damage out of my very few attacks.
Oh, yeah. And with shrapnel, that's 3 unmitigated damage on anyone within 2 spaces.
Yeah. It's huge. Gosh, it's huge. I love it. So anyway, that's my current list that I'm working on. Its other strong weakness is that it's terrible at objective control.
Yeah, I was going to say, with only two major attacks like that around, how do you deal with small objective runners that you don't really want to waste target shots on, like regular jets, like regular riot troopers, or like even like regular smugglers from rebels? What do you do to combat that, like from them getting 4 points around on Jabba's?
So the biggest thing to do is on Jabba's is I've got to open the door and I've got to punish anybody who tries to. They're going to be able to get into the pit, and it's very tough to contest them actually getting into the pit, but I can't let them ever take the top. And taking the middle objective, most of the time it's not worth investing resources to try to push them out. It's better at that point to just make sure I've got one locked down, and then I can just start removing figures. And if I need to, I can commit someone into the pit like Mac or something.
So you put a small figure, maybe contest one of the boxes and then just concede the other one.
Yep. I mean, like that's how it has always gone with the boxes. Yep. You just need to like accept the fact that you're not going to be able to contest everything, and you've just got to rely on your opponent to try to contest everything, which spreads them out so you can strike somewhere and kind of throw them off balance.
That's one of the things. The nice things, I mean, Drakata, obviously you talked about strength, but one of the nice things about having a set of Rangers on the list, like Brendan was talking about, if you've got some smaller targets like that that you need to kill that are focused on objectives, it doesn't really hurt them to kill those units because they're going to get hidden from it, which makes them harder to shoot back at and makes their next attack better.
I know. I love that. I absolutely love that about Rangers because it does take away. Because I would say that's like Rangers themselves are not great at contesting objectives themselves,
yeah.
Right? Because they don't want to get up into the fray. But like you're saying, they can pick off people who are trying to commit.
And they've got six smallish medium attacks around, so dodges are going to hurt them less too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, so that's my list. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like I've been saying, I need to play Robert and crush his soul.
Crush his dreams.
But that's kind of where we're at in terms of, Brandon, are you going to Worlds?
Yes, I am going to Worlds with my buddy Jeff.
Awesome. Awesome. We're missing Robert. He will definitely be missed. But as we're preparing for Worlds, I just wanted to get their insights in terms of what they're building for. And even though Robert's not going, obviously he still plays a ton on Vassal, and we're all kind of getting ginned up for it. So
yep.
Cool. Well, do you guys have, let's hear some concluding thoughts on the meta, like where you think things are going. Shed some pearls of wisdom upon us.
I don't have anything major. I love where the meta is at right now. I feel like there's competitive lists in pretty much every archetype. I mean, here in Houston, we rarely see anything like a box or anything like that. But obviously, you've been making that work for you, Kenny, so I think that's awesome. I just think there's a lot of lists that can work really well. And happy to be playing. Can't wait for our Death Troopers to come out at Thrawn so I can kick some Rebel scum butt. But other than that,
he's the worst. Robert, what's been the thing that has surprised you the most about the development of the meta in the last month or two? Mm-hmm. Anything?
I think I'm surprised that Ahsoka didn't make a bigger impact just with her ability. I think it's maybe because I feel like we don't see as many Ikwes. When I first saw her, I was really – I thought it was really cool her ability to get in there, how easily she was going to be able to kill a focused Ikwe before they could do anything about it. So, you know, most of the time the Ikwes are going to move, hide themselves, get focused up and set up for the next round. And she just has a really easy time of going in there, end of round, jumping in, hitting it, killing another one, start of the round, jumping six spaces out. I think maybe one of the reasons she hasn't made such a big impact is because we have seen less weak ways, less just hunter spam. And the hunter list we do see, I feel like we see a lot of IG-88 now. And he's really strong as well, obviously. I've talked about him before. But I'm just a little bit surprised that she hasn't made as much of an impact. I think that's probably one of the reasons why she has a harder time one-shotting anything with 7 health. 6 is a lot easier for her.
Especially when the 7 health figures that she's trying to one-shot have got Zilla most of the time, right? That's Jets, who also have Agile, so they can cancel one of her surges. It's very, very tough for her to one-shot a Jet, which feels bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's nothing else major.
Cool. All right. Well, Brandon, let's hear some concluding thoughts from you. Where do you think the meta's at? What is something that surprised you about the development of the meta in the last month or two?
I think the meta is in a really good spot right now. There's a lot of different solid units you can pick from each faction. You see a lot of variety of lists, so it's hard to find a dominating faction or a list because anything can get countered. I mean, no list is safe. So,
what surprised you the most about the meta in the last month or two?
Oof. surprised me. I haven't seen that many Mercs, Merc list. I was really hoping I would see them more often, because when I run Rangers, I can take out Weak Ways, take out IG, take out Onar. It feels good taking out Merc units. but I've been seeing, I've been seeing a lot of more Imperialists, but yeah, I mean, they're a strong faction, and I don't think Mercs are going away either, and Imperials are definitely up there with and Rebels. Everybody's in a good spot.
Are you, if at Worlds, if it seems pretty apparent that everyone, except for me and Brett Kelly, is going to be running Imperials, are you going to stick with your Double Rangers list? Are you confident? Are you confident enough about playing Vader, Taro, Vader, Palp, Palp, Taro, ATDP, like over and over with your list?
Yeah, I'm confident in playing Imperial list because I played enough Imperial list against Joe. But I want to play maybe more Mercenaries to see how they're doing. I feel Weak Ways are going to show up more because more Hans are being run.
That's true.
Just the rerolling that white die when you dodge against me. But yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, do you guys have any other thoughts for us?
Not for me. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Well, we're very glad to have you. We want to invite everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to designsfinestia@gmail.com. You can come on and you can hear about all of Robert's bad opinions. We have a great time with it. Also, we'd love to get any support we can on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. We're going to be getting those Ahsoka and Han alt art cards out as soon as I get them from the printer, and it's going to be awesome. Everyone's going to be super jelly, I think is what the kids are saying these days. Cool. Well, we want to thank Robert and Brandon. Thanks for coming on.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, and everyone have a good day.